My name's Jono Bacon, and I've got a Nexus One.
My name's Stuart Langridge, and I've got a Nexus One.
And this is...
Shot of Jack.
Shots back, we talked about the new Nexus One from Google and its potential impact on the industry. Now, in that particular shot, we talked about the impact that the Nexus One was going to have on cellular networks and particularly how data could potentially outweigh voice traffic. In that particular shot, we also deliberately stayed well clear of reviewing the device itself, given that A, we didn't actually have one, B, we'd never really seen one, and C, we really wanted to spend some time snuggled up with it playing with one. Well, we've now got a couple of Nexus Ones, and we've been playing with them for the last week or so. So now we present our very first review of Jack.
I've now had my Nexus One for about a week and a half. Jono's had his for a little over a week. And first of all, we should say thank you very much to Google and especially Chris DeBona for sending us two of the devices so we can play with them, see what we think of them, talk to you about them, and then keep them afterwards. Thank you very much, Google and Chris. I've spent a week throwing everything I can think of at mine with the intention of seeing whether it's a good replacement for the phone that I had before.
Yeah, and I've been doing pretty much the same thing, just throwing everything I can at the phone to really get a good idea of what it can do. So why don't we start off with the specs? Now, you can obviously get the specs online, but I just want to zip through these to summarize what's in this phone for those of you who aren't familiar with it. So first of all, it's display. It's got a rather nice 3.7-inch widescreen display, which has got an AMOLED screen. This basically means that it's a very shiny, bright screen, as opposed to typical other screens that come in phones. It's got a good high resolution, 800 by 480 pixels. It's got a camera with a flash in it. It's a 5-megapixel camera. It obviously supports a range of different wireless and cellular networks. It's got 3G support. It supports wireless networks, you know, conventional wireless networks. It's got a rippingly fast 1 gigahertz Snapdragon processor in it. The operating system that it's running is obviously Android, and it's Android Platform 2.1, which is the newest version of Android. In terms of capacity, it comes with 0.5 gig of RAM, and it's got 0.5 gig of flash built into the phone. But Google also, rather nicely, give you a 4 gigabyte micro SD card that you can ram in the side of it and fill with possibly illegally downloaded music. In addition to this, it's got an accelerometer, it's got a digital compass, it's got Wi-Fi positioning, and of course it's got a GPS built into it as well.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, most of that's about the hardware rather than the software, and I really quite like the hardware. Just feeling the thing in my hand, it feels like a pleasant device to hold. The outside coating of the handset is not shiny and slippery. It's just slightly cool, kind of matte feel to the thing. And it means that it feels really nice in your hand. It's also very slim. I mean, it's not, if you actually look at the specs, it's no slimmer than anything else on the market, but it feels slim and elegant in a way that a lot of the other phones on the market don't.
It really does. It's a really rather nice feeling piece of kit. You know, like when you get that moment when you first take it out of the box and you think, ooh, and then usually that wears off after a day or so, but I'm still in the honeymoon period where every time I pick up the phone, I think, God, this is a nice piece of kit. It really is. And I like the fact also that it's kind of matte on the back. It's not the, you know, like a kind of iPod-ish kind of like shiny mirror sort of thing on the back. So it doesn't get covered in smudges. The screen gets a little bit smudgy, but it's, and in terms of the hardware, it is bloody quick. I mean, it's like shit off a shovel. I mean, it's just so fast in terms of, I mean, I had a G1 beforehand. And the G1 struggled with Android at times, and it had the battery life of, well, basically not having a battery in it was pretty much the equivalent, and it was not particularly good. But the Nexus One seems like a really powerful piece of kit.
And that's interesting. I mean, before this, I had the HTC Hero, the T-Mobile G2 Touch, and it was running Android, but it really was, to be honest with you, a bit underpowered. There were times when the phone would lag, and even if it wasn't lagging, it still, there was a microsecond after you do something before it would kick in. And I'd almost grown used to that with my old phone, but having the Nexus One and making you realise, wow, this Snapdragon thing, it's blisteringly fast, isn't it? That's excellent. You don't realise what it is you're missing until you pick up a properly fast phone like this.
Yeah. And I love the fact that with it as well, you can run multiple applications. I mean, one of the criticisms of the iPhone, of course, was that you could only run one app at a time. And I've been running a number of things on the Nexus One, and it runs really quick. I've not noticed really any slowdown with it.
No, so it's, I haven't at all. I mean, there are... So the hardware itself is great. The fact that they drop in a 4GB SD card for free is genuinely nice of them as well. The hardware's not perfect, though. I mean, one of the things that I've noticed is that the radio, the 3G radio in it, seems to be not quite as good as my previous one, the Hero. In my living room, I live in the middle of nowhere, so I don't have brilliant 3G reception. And in my living room, on the Hero, I'd always get GPRS coverage, and most of the time I get HSDPA, so 3.5G. And with the Nexus One, I'll quite often find that I'm getting dropouts even on GPRS. So I don't know whether that's a software problem or whether the radio hardware in it's not quite as good or whatever, but that could do with being sorted out.
And the other thing we should talk about, of course, is battery. If we look at the specs, we see the usual bullshit that hardware vendors provide, you know, these lies that they write about battery life. Now, I don't know where they get these numbers from, but let me talk through the numbers quickly. So, you know, talk time, they reckon you're going to get 10 hours on 2G, 7 hours on 3G, standby 290 hours on 2G, 250 hours on 3G, 5 hours on the web with 3G, 6.5 hours on Wi-Fi, 7 hours of video playback and 20 hours of audio playback. And some of that sounds relatively reasonable. I can imagine the talk time to a reasonable degree, but I don't believe for a second you're going to get 290 hours of it on standby.
That's like 2 weeks. What rubbish, honestly. To be honest with you, we're now in a world where everyone who's got a high-end phone has basically been taught that you really ought to plug it in every night. If you skip one night, then you'll probably make it all the way to the next night.
Yeah.
But if you're the sort of person who spends all day on the web playing with things and what have you, anyway, I mean, if you're the sort of person who gets a high-end phone and then doesn't use it for anything, then fine. But why the hell haven't you got some cheap Nokia?
Well, comparing it to... So I'm comparing it in terms of battery to my G1, which was... The G1 was just absolutely bollocks in terms of battery. It was terrible. It often wouldn't get through a day.
Wow, that is
on standby. It was really bad. I mean, it was really bad. And other people had said that their G1s were just as bad as well. The battery on this is actually pretty good. I mean, it lasts for pretty much 2 days playing with it reasonably. And that is acceptable to me. You know, and on standby, I haven't really had it on standby because it's, you know, I'm in new toy mode, so I've been playing with it constantly.
Why would you have it on standby? Why would you have the internet in your pocket all the time and then leave it alone? I don't understand it. But yeah, exactly. To be honest with you, it's not the battery life's not bad. It's as good as everything else is, maybe a little bit better, but there's no quantum leap in battery life here.
Yeah. So let's talk about the software. I mean, the hardware is there to run the software. It's coming with a nice shiny Android. So what do you think of the software?
Actually, Android 2.1 is pretty good. Eclair, the code name is. And I must confess, I used 1.5, I used 1.6, and I'm now using 2.1 on the Nexus. And it's really quite nice. One of the things I like about it is I took the phone out of the box and put the battery in, charged it up, turned it on, and I was sitting there showing it to people in the bar saying, look, I've got this brand new phone. And about 15 minutes after I had it, it popped up with, do you want a new update? And I said, yes, please. And then I got this new Android 2.1 update, which gives you things like multi-touch, so you've got pinch zoom on the maps and so on. And the fact that arrived 3/4 of an hour after I took it out of the box is rather cool, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things about the software, so the software is obviously it's Android, and many of us have played with Android before, and personally I think Android's lovely. One of the touted features of the Nexus One was, of course, the voice recognition stuff, you know, the idea that you can read an email and the idea that you can search for stuff on Google. So I've been playing around with that quite a bit, and it's generally pretty good. I've been mainly using it for search terms. I've not read out an email, but I was doing a search for Kaiser Permanente, which is a medical company here in the US.
And indeed, the bad guy in The Usual Suspects.
Yes, indeed. And you know, for Kaiser Permanente, it's those two words they're two pretty unpleasant words. So, and it found those fine. I also played with Google Goggles, which is basically where you can take a picture of something and it'll basically trying to, it's very CSI like. It'll basically try and pick out the logo and then search it on Google. I had mixed results with that. I had some success and some failures with that. So
I ought to point out that you've tried reading into it the name of something which is probably 5 miles from the Google office, and you've taken pictures of things which are probably 5 miles from the Google office. And much like every other piece of technology in the world, it's minutely detailed inside Silicon Valley and merely minute outside. I have had absolutely no luck with Google goggles. I've tried taking pictures. I took a picture of the Pizza Hut logo, and you have those in America, right? And it didn't notice anything. I'm sure it's fine for people who wake up one day in Paris, don't know where they are, and then take a picture of the Eiffel Tower to find out which location they're in.
But so you didn't take a picture of the caravan that you live in, and you're surprised it wasn't fair, right?
Suffice to say, I have not been brilliantly impressed with Google goggles. But to be honest with you, it's clearly a technology preview. It's like, here is a cool thing to play with. Have a play with it and see what you think.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. So in general, the software works pretty well, I think. I mean, there's a few nitpicks. So for example, the keyboard. You'll press a button for the keyboard to come out, and then it's very difficult to get rid of it, which is pretty frustrating. You were telling me earlier on about the apostrophe, which is a grammar.
Yeah, speaking as the only person who correctly punctuates text messages, right? getting to an apostrophe requires you to hold down a long press on the full stop button, which then pops up this other tiny little menu of alternative punctuation characters you might like, one of which is an apostrophe, which means that if I want to type the word can't, C-A-N apostrophe T, it's C-A-N, hold down, wait, menu pops up, press apostrophe, and then T. Now, that's really irritating. The thing which actually irritates me slightly more is that I've recently discovered that you can actually type C-A-N-T, and Android will correct it to can't, spelt correctly for you, which is nice and everything, and we'll ignore the fact that can't is actually a word. But what that means is it automatically corrects chavs who don't know what an apostrophe is and makes them look like English professors. Meanwhile, it teaches me to forget what apostrophes are for. Stop doing that.
I think this is a conversation for another time, preferably another time when I'm not involved in it. One of the things I like about the keyboard as well is that, you know, it's got this thing where, you know, when you're typing on the keyboard, it'll show words that you might be trying to type, and then you can press them. But because it's got this massive data engine that is Google, it if you're typing words, it'll actually pick out brand names and places and stuff like that, which is pretty cool.
Yes, I was quite impressed. I also like the thing where one of the complaints I had with my Hero is that if you wanted to type some kind of strange word or a product number or something, it obviously wouldn't recognize it as part of the dictionary, but when you picked it and you said, no, the thing I typed in is actually what I wanted to type, it would then add it to your dictionary forever. Whereas with Android 2.1, if you just select a word, it doesn't add it to the dictionary. But you can long press the word to actually add it to your dictionary to save it. And I just thought, I wish I could save this word. I wonder what happens if I long press it. And yeah, it worked exactly as I anticipated it to, without having to go and read a manual about it or anything. And
yeah,
that, the software aligning with the way I ought to work and finding that's the way it actually does work, to me, that's brilliant. I have a few minor issues with the thing. Like, Android still doesn't ship with a notepad.
Yes. Which it needs to do.
It's just really, really annoying.
Well, one of the problems with that, I find, is that, for example, if I want to go to the store and pick up some stuff, like Eric will say, can you go and pick me up some stuff for dinner or something? So what I'll end up doing is I'll end up typing that into a text message, and I'll accidentally send it to somebody. So someone will get a text message from me that just says green onions, comma, tomatoes, comma, wine. That's suboptimal. Right?
The John O'Bacon diet, ladies and gentlemen. The big thing that I think is missing from this, and it's been a big disappointment since I got rid of my Hero, is that there's no tethering out of the box. Now, yes, I understand that in general, carriers don't like the idea of you tethering your phone because it means you'll hose their network down by using your laptop from it. But first of all, my Hero came with it out of the box. Hooray, well done. You just went in and said mobile network sharing, and then bang, you were tethered. And secondly, the whole point of the Nexus One is that you buy it direct from Google and you don't have to enter into carrier deals and all that kind of thing. And there still isn't tethering. It's obviously possible. Now, you can do it without routing. your phone, but it's a faff to do. And you have to install loads of different applications and everything. And the Hero, it just worked. You ticked mobile network sharing, network manager connected you to the network. That was it. I was blown away by that, and I've been unblown away by the fact that it's not in 2.1.
So let's draw some conclusions on this then. So shall I go first, and then and then you can give your final view.
I can, yes. Go.
All right. So So first of all, I think that this is, in general, I think it's just a lovely, lovely, lovely phone. The hardware is really nice. It feels good. It's well made. The software is incredibly well integrated. This is the nicest phone that I've ever owned, and I've owned a lot of phones. I'm not as much of a phone dork as you are, but in terms of my needs, as somebody just wants a good device for being on the internet, making calls, downloading apps and playing with it. In general, I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it a pretty good review, and I'm going to give it a 8 out of 10 as my score.
Okay, I mean, I think I would describe myself as someone who knows what he wants from phone technology rather than a phone dork. And I could sit here all day and say, the charge speed on USB is dog shit. And, every time I try and press the off button while I'm holding the phone in one hand, the volume turns down and, don't do that and stuff. But they're all basically minor whinges. I'm really, really happy with the Nexus One. It's certainly the best phone I've owned. I believe it's the best phone on the market. I'm starting to see people actually pick one up and say, wow, I didn't realize phones could be this good, which I've been really quite impressed with. It feels like a phone which has taken a leap over everything else available. And if I was in the market for a phone, if I had to go shopping for one now, I was just out of contract, then certainly looking at the phones on the market, I'd buy the Nexus One. So, lots of little niggles, but those little niggles are going to go away in time, I think. And I've been pretty happy with it. So I'd score it a 6 out of 10.
So, based upon both of our ratings, we're going to give the Nexus One from Google the very, very first Shot of Jack rating. We're going to give it a 7. So, pretty good rating and good work, Google. We both think you've done a wonderful job on this. But you know what?
A really good job, yes.
We are, of course, at the very start of the conversation, and there's people who are going out and getting the Nexus One, so we're keen to see what other people think and, to hear what questions the Shot of Jack listeners have got about the device that we can probably answer. So if you want to get involved in the conversation, go to shotofjack.org, where you heard this shot, and leave your comments there.
Or you can go to shotofjack.org/discuss and find out how to talk to us on Twitter, send us email and everything else.
And we'll see you, of course, on the next Shot of Jack.